if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of 3 John, the book of 3 John, chapter 1 and verse 2. For those of you who know, this is kind of the launch scripture that we have been using in these talks, and I'm here to tell you we love this scripture. I pray you have grown familiar with the scripture by now, and we're going to all read this together here as we have been. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. God, that we get to read, we get to hear, and Lord, that we get to live. And God, I pray that you would, as our hearts are open, we receive your word, I pray, God, that we would have a passion to go out and make what we hear today habit in our lives. Guide me, I pray, every word I speak, that it would be your word. I just want to be an echo of what you're saying here today to us, your people, Jesus. We love you and the honor to get to do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you see in this scripture, we've got about, including today, 3 weeks left, 2 weeks after today, in our Juice series. And the theme of this series has been just showing you God's heart, that He wants every part of you to be well. He wants every part of your life to be in a state of health and wellness. And we've talked a lot about what makes us healthy, not just physically. The point of the series is more spiritual health, and we've talked a lot about what makes us spiritually healthy. We've talked about prayer is important in a Christian's life. We talked about the need for a calendar in a Christian's life, the need for a schedule. How many know success isn't something that we wait for? You are to schedule your success. We talked about the health of church attendance. We've talked about squeezing the most out of marriage and squeezing the most out of being single, and we've used those to parallel those truths and topics with different fruit. We've talked about the apple and the carrot, peppers, passion fruit, and a tomato. And today we are going to look at the pear. Any pear folks in the house? Like, you love a good pear. I love a good pear, man. I'm telling you what, it is a super juicy, sweet tasting fruit, and also it's healthy for you. Amen. I mean, that's rare, at least for me, to find something super good tasting and it's also healthy for you. I mean, just some of the health benefits of a pear is eating a pear prevents cancers. It helps prevent cancers. Eating a pear helps with digestion. It helps boost your immune system. It has been known to help prevent heart disease. It even specifically helps with a condition called diverticulitis, which is a very, very, a serious digestion condition, and it literally has nutrients that decrease diverticulitis conditions. The pear, powerful. The pear lowers cholesterol. Get this, if you have 10 grams of fiber a day, which are two pears, that's what I'm saying, you juice these pears, man, you're able to get everything out of it that you can. That's just two pears. If you do this a day, it will lower your LDL and total cholesterol to healthy levels. That's insane to me. And lastly, just another FYI, what a pear is, it's a detox fruit. That one of the direct results of regularly eating a pear is that it flushes your digestive system of toxins. And again, all that from this. Like, this just blows me away right here. That this little thing does all of those things to this big old thing. Like, that blows me away right there. I can't even believe those benefits just from this. Still blows me away, this fruit and vegetable series. And alongside the benefits, the taste, let's go back to the taste. The taste of this fruit is extremely rewarding. It's rewarding to be able to have this. But here's the thing about a pear. It takes a long time to experience the reward of enjoying the taste of this fruit. Because the pear is, I don't know if you know this, one of the longest cultivating fruits out there. In other words, it has has one of the biggest waiting periods from the time you put the seed in the ground to the time you pluck the pear from the branch. It can take up to 7 years. From the time you put the seed in the ground to the time you pluck the pear from the branches, it can take up to 7 years. And when I heard that, I knew what we were going to preach on today. Today we're going to talk about parenting. Parenting. Because with parenting, how many know it takes a while? It takes a long time to see the fruit of our efforts. The pear is not like the pepper, in that you plant a seed and then in the same year you're eating it and experiencing the reward of it. It takes time, up to 7 years, to enjoy the results of a pear. After you sow the pear seed, you won't see this fruit for a while. How many know that is parenting to a T? And I feel like sometimes we lose sight of that. We think the results of our parenting should be seen overnight, when that is not at all the case. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way he should go when he's old. Why doesn't it say when he is young, he will not depart from it? Because God knows, and you know very well, that when they are young, when your son is young, when your daughter is young, they will most definitely depart from what it is you are training them to do. Because when they are young, they are what? You don't need to insert words, because I sense some great words are about to come out. Let's just use the word immature. That's actually the definition of youth, is immaturity. And what does immaturity mean? Not yet developed physically, not yet developed intellectually, not yet developed emotionally, not yet developed spiritually. In the stages of immaturity, our children will most definitely depart from what it is they are being trained to do. And how many know that is as true as it possibly can be? And God says these scriptures right here for so many of us as parents that look at our kids and ask ourselves, why are they not doing what I have trained them to do? I have beat them. I have done everything I could. Why are they not doing it? And I think one of these scriptures is just one of those keep going scriptures. It's one of those there is fruit on the other end of your long suffering efforts scriptures. Parenting is sowing and waiting a long time for the reaping. And it's so important that we see parenting as the marathon that it is, instead of the 100-meter dash that it is not. Parenting takes years to see the fruit of its efforts. Proverbs chapter 22 and 6 is a cause and effect verse. The cause being 22, the effect being 22b, right? When he is old, he will not depart from it. But you can't have the effect without having the cause. Train up a child in the way he should go. You can't have B unless you do A first. You can't have the result if you don't have the efforts. And I want to talk about that right there. Train up. I want to talk about the efforts of training our children. Because you don't have a pear if you don't sow the pear seed. You don't have the godly son or daughter if you don't have the godly parenting. You can't sow a tomato seed and expect a pear. You can't be an ungodly parent and expect to produce a godly child, a godly man or woman. So what does God say about our efforts? What does God say about the training that we are to give as parents? How do we ensure that we are getting the Proverbs 22:6b reward of godly parenting in that years down the road, we pluck from the branches of our efforts godly men and women that we raised up. Somebody that stayed close and did not depart from the investment we played and placed in them while they were young. How do we juice the most out of parenting? What are the nutrients found in godly parenting that I need to ensure I am ingesting? Because just like a pear is made up of essential nutrients that do a great result in our lives, parenting is made up of godly nutrients. So we're going to break it down like a pie chart. We're going to dissect godly parenting and look at the nutrients inside of godly parenting and make sure you know what it takes to get the result God wants. First of all, number one, an extremely important nutrient to install in our parenting is a nutrient called accessibility. It's very important that we understand the importance of parenting our children's accessibility. And here's what I mean. It is our job as parents to decide who and what has access to your children. Can I tell you, there is a lot out there in the world. There is a great, gigantic menu of people and things that desire access to your child. And it is our job to decide who gets that access and who doesn't get that access. From the friend's house that they stay over at, to the apps they are allowed to download on their phone, what they are allowed to have accessibility to cannot rest on their own decision-making abilities. Why? Because they are young. And what's the definition of young? Immature, meaning they don't have the experience behind them to truly weigh out the risk-reward decision that they make. You choose what friends have access to your child and what that access looks like. You choose that. Remember, we shared this scripture last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, which says what? Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Now, that scripture just isn't in a marriage context. That's in a partnership. That's in a friendship context. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. And the question goes on from the author, who says, for what fellowship does light have with darkness? What harmony is there between good and evil? Here's what we have to understand. You, as a parent, have been called by God to ensure that our children live inside the parameters of those boundaries. So if I apply that to my parenting, and then my child says to me, hey, Dad, can I go over and stay the night at Pothead Billy's tonight? What's going to be my answer? To hell with that. You ain't going over to Pothead Billy's. Not that he ever asked, can I go over to Pothead Billy's, but I'm just trying to make the point. You ain't going over to Pothead Billy's. Pothead Billy can come over here. But you ain't going over Pothead Billy. I don't know Pothead Billy's parents. I don't know who his parents are. I don't know what they believe. I don't know what kind of environment that they have. I don't know what kind of example that they lay out in the atmosphere of their home. If you want to hang out with Pothead Billy, let Pothead Billy come and see what your home is like, how we do things, what our standard is, how we operate here in our home. And somebody will say, well, what about your child being an evangelist to go reach the people of the world? Let me tell you something. A child is young. They are immature, meaning I am not going to send out on the sake of your perception of the gospel and put them in an atmosphere where they can be weak. I'm going to put them in an atmosphere that feeds their strength and give them more resource to be strong for their faith, which they will be able to be better served at home or a place I know that they can be strong in their faith with. You choose that accessibility. I'm telling you, even to the social media, aspects. What you allow on their phones. Statistics say today that 75% of all teenagers have a cell phone. And that's a good thing. It's good to have that communication. But how many know the menu of opportunity that exists in the world of things and apps that desire access to your kids are great. And you got to get in the know on what's on those phones. I have what we like to call "give me your phone" moments in the house. It's out of nowhere. We'll be eating. "Give me your phone." "You got your phone? Give me your phone." I'm not going to go through your phone right now in front of everybody. When did I do that? Last night. Amen. I already know. I know what's on this dude's phone. I'm scrolling through every text message. I'm reading everything anybody sends him. I'm going, "Who's this person? Who's this person? What's their deal? Where are they from? Mind if I call them? Hello? Who are you?" No, I don't do that part. But, you know, it's like, "Who's this person? What's this app for? What's this do?" I didn't even know what Snapchat was until just a couple months ago. I mean, no, just the world of technology just keeps growing, man. We got to be in the know because we got to decide what's appropriate and what's not to see what the world wants. This is a gateway that the world uses to get into the heart of the child God has given me to raise. Accessibility is such an important thing, such an important nutrient inside of our parenting, and ensuring that you are protecting, ensuring that you are deciding what is allowed access into your child is one of the greatest forms of nourishment you can provide them. And some of you may say, "Yeah, good luck with that. It's hard." Which leads me to nutrient number two. Accountability. Accountability is such an important nutrient inside of our parenting. Inside of parenting. If you want to be a godly parent, I need you to hear me today. Accountability is such an important nutrient. A large part of parenting is creating boundaries and keeping them inside of those boundaries. But back to the Proverbs 22:6 scripture, why doesn't it say, "When they are young, they will not depart from it"? Again, it means that while they are young, how many know they love to test those boundaries? Anybody, or is it just my kids? Right? They love to test those boundaries. And here is where parenting comes through at its finest, is when there are consequences. How many know accountability equals consequences? When there are consequences to them stepping over what we like to call the gun line. How many Cool Hand Luke fans in the house, right? What's that? "Oh, that's the gun line, boss." What happens if you cross the gun line? There are consequences to crossing the gun line. Right? There are consequences to crossing the gun line. And if they keep crossing the gun line, what do? You go, "What we have here is a failure to communicate." How many know what I'm talking about? Consequences equal accountability. It's such an important thing to see the value of consequences in accountability, because Proverbs 13:24 says what? "Whoever spares the rod spoils the child." And that's what we've always heard. If you go back to the authentic definition of the Hebrew, "whoever spares the rod," this is what the verse says. Look at that. Hates. Think about that for a second. My God, those are some strong words. This is God speaking, though. "Whoever spares the rod hates their children." Some of you say, I don't hate. Because you're viewing love and hate as feelings, when love and hate are really actions. You can feel like you love your child, but if the actions around them do not install and place them, listen to me, friends, this is truth here. "Whoever spares the rod hates their children." And God says, "But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Parenting is understanding that I am here. God has put me here to push you as the child, to keep you as the child in the boundaries God's word has called you to live in. And because you don't have the ability to do that yourself in your immature stage, it is my job to train you to do so. Let's just get real here. Can you go back to that nutrient? This here, this accountability equals, let's just get real here. This part is not fun. Right? Man, you are a quiet church this morning. How many know this part is not fun? I'm an audience participation preacher. So here's what happens when you're too quiet. I don't feel like you understand it. And so then I just keep explaining it over and over again. So how many know this is not fun right here? Amen. It's not. It's tough to do this right here. It's not fun to discipline your kids, to hold your kids accountable. I know we joke about it and make jest about it, but if you think it's fun to discipline your kids, you've got serious psychological issues. Amen. I mean, it's not fun. I have punished, I have beaten, I have spanked, I have grounded my kids to a level where I look tough on the outside to them. I'm in the room, and yeah, this is the rule, and this is what it will be. And I close the door, but they don't see me behind the wall going, I'm sorry, I didn't want to do that, I didn't mean to do it, you know, Daddy loves you, he really does. You know, like it's me. It's not fun. It hurts to discipline your child. If we just got real, it's not fun to discipline your kids. But the nature, everybody say nature. The nature of discipline produces, everybody say produces. The nature of discipline produces in them habits that keep them and their lives inside of the boundaries you have set. Let me rewind and say that one more time. The nature of discipline produces in them the habits that keep their lives in the boundaries you have set. That's the very nature of discipline. Like myself growing up, I was taught, and a value in our home was always respect for your elders. That was a value in my home. And when I did not live that out, there was punishment for that. And I remember one day, I was playing video games up in my room, and I was having a blast, man. And while I was playing my video games, and wasn't just any video game, it was Super Mario Brothers NES, y'all. And I just wasn't at any old place in the video game. I was Super Mario Brothers level 8-4. Y'all don't know 8-4. 8-4 was crazy, y'all. It was just nonstop. Fire wheels, fiery turtles, Bowser with like a million hammers. I mean, it was nuts, and I'd never been there before. And this wasn't one of those save the games and do it later. And I remember while I was in the middle of 8-4, I heard my grandfather, my dad's dad, Grandpa Kiro's, come through the door to visit. And I remember hearing him say, Jesse, your grandpa's here. And I'm just like, I don't care right now. I mean, this is Super Mario level 8-4. I mean, my hands are sweaty. I'm just like, this has got to be it. And he's not responding. Jesse's not responding. Hey, your grandpa's here. Come on in here. And I'm just like, Grandpa, you can wait. I mean, you got to understand. On the other side of this Bowser is my chick, the princess. And I'm about to rescue her. And we're about to go have a family. It's just a beautiful time. And I'm just sitting there playing the game and playing, Jesse, and I'm not coming. I remember my dad just hearing the steps. Oh, I hated that sound. What did I say? What did I just say? Grandpa's here. Yeah, I know. He goes, pause the game. The game can wait. The game can't wait. You don't understand. You have no idea. I mean, I already lost flower power. I am down to a little, minute, little tiny Mario. I mean, this is it, Mario. Mario. Mario Ray has just ruined Super Mario Brothers. Amen. But it's just, you know, it's one of those things where it's just like, I'm almost there. And I remember he's like, no, you're done. Pause it. And my dad thought the pause button was the power button. And he pushes power. Turned my game off. You don't understand. It's still damaging to me today, but because you can't like re-go. Like, man, there's no save points. It's just, you got to go all through that again, man. It was tough. But I remember him saying, like, I'll take that game and throw it out the window. Nothing is worth you disrespecting your grandfather who's here. And I remember I was raised with those consequences. He said, when your grandfather's here, you walk out to where he is. You sit down. You smile. You acknowledge him. You listen to when he says things. He is here to be respected. I was in there just playing a video game. How many know that's kids? Kids today struggle with the same thing. I mean, I've walked in a room before and kids are just like this. No, it's like you're not even in the room. And I refuse to have my kids like that. And I'm telling you, those consequences in my life produced habits that I still live by today. And I am thankful that I was raised in a home where I was taught to respect my elders, because I still live that in my life today. So the key to the nutrient of accountability is setting boundaries and keeping, hear me today, your word to following through with the disciplinary actions designed to keep them inside of them. Hope you heard what I just said. Keeping your word, because we have a lot of what I like to call empty threats today. You do that one more time, I'm taking that phone away. And then they do it, and what do we say? I swear, one more time, and I'm taking the phone away. And they do it again. You're like, boy, you think I'm joking? Let me see you do that one more time, right? And we're just one more time and all that. I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it, man. And then my wife's sitting there like, you know, you need to be a person of your word. Like, you need to quit giving empty threats to the kids. And instead of repenting and seeing it, I just fight back at her. Oh, yeah? Well, what about you? One time, you 3 years ago, you said you were going to make pancakes for the family. And guess who didn't eat pancakes? None of us. So don't call me a liar. You're a liar. You know, I'm just like going on the kid level. I mean, no, we got to keep our word. Don't just give empty threats. Build the boundaries. Keep them inside the boundaries. And a big part of keeping them inside of the boundaries is keeping your word to the disciplinary actions designed to keep them inside of them. Consequences are a big juice to godly parenting. Number three, which leads me right to the next point. Another great nutrient to parenting is a nutrient called unlikability. What does unlikability mean? Not liked. Not liked at all, right? I believe a big temptation many parents experience today is trying to be liked too much by their kids. And psychologists will tell you that is dangerous. As a youth pastor, I heard parents tell me, I was a youth pastor for 10 years, and I heard parents tell me, I just want to be my kid's friend. And my response was always this: they are not your friend. Yet, and I'll get to the yet in a moment, but they are not your buddy right now. They are your child, and so in that temptation where we try to be liked too much by our kids, we end up parenting with too much concern for their feelings that can easily get in the way of our discipline. Let me say that again. In that temptation where we try to be liked too much by our kids, we end up parenting with too much concern for their feelings that can easily get in the way of our discipline. Where we don't discipline them at the level that they need it because we're fearful it will hurt their feelings. I heard a parent tell me this, and it's an understandable statement that they said, but they just said, I'm just afraid they'll resent me if I discipline them. And my response to them was, yes, they will. Temporarily. Oh, they may hate your guts for a few days, but those feelings are temporary. The anger that they have for you in you taking their phone away isn't going to last. So quit thinking that it will. It's not going to give birth to a lifelong addiction to crack cocaine, where 20 years later you find him in a crack house and you're just like, what did I do wrong? And they're like, should have never taken that phone away. Right? That's not going to happen. But we think it does. We think if I discipline them, then they're going to run away and go be with somebody else. What a lie. Discipline is such a very good thing. And no one likes discipline. No one. I've never heard one person tell me, adult or child, I love discipline. So naturally, the parent, the one God is tasking with being the disciplinarian, isn't going to be liked all of the time by the child. I look to my in-laws for this, who have, to me, a great model of parenting, because Randy and Bev, there they are. Can you guys just stand up so everybody can see you? They hate what I'm doing, but now I'm the pastor. You got to listen. Amen, just in this point. But there they are, and I love these two people because they may look sweet on the surface, but they can drive it home in the parenting. I was dating their 16-year-old daughter as a 15-year-old boy. That's right, older chicks. Way to go. Amen. And so, I watched their parenting of their teenagers. And I remember they didn't play around. When they gave a rule, they stuck to that rule. I mean, up until the day we were married, I still disagree with the curfew you gave her. She had to be home by 9 p.m. the week we were getting married. And I'm telling her, like, why do I got to have you home by 9? I'm marrying you on Friday. That's the rule, you know. Oh, I was like, I can't wait to marry you. I'm going to take you in the car and do donuts out in front of their house at 1 in the morning. Oh, yeah, that's right, 1 in the morning. You know, anyway. But I remember one time they said to her, because they go, you can go out to Jesse's, but you better be home. And for every, I may be wrong in this, but I think it was like for every minute you are late, you are grounded for a day. And I remember she just couldn't leave on time because, look at me, I mean, right? Just can't stop staring. And so I'm like, you got to go. You know, she's like, I can't. Let me look at you again. I'm like, listen, you go, just go. You know, it's one of those things. And her brother and sister were with us. And you're like, I got to go. And you sped home. Wasn't that the time you sped home? You took 79 and you sped home and got a ticket. That's what that was. And so it made you like 30 minutes late. So she was grounded for a month. And so they said, all right, you can call Jesse, tell him you're grounded. You're not going to talk to him. No, you know, you can write letters. And so we wrote letters to each other for a month. Like, we're in the old times. You know, it's like, dearest Melissa, you know, I pray you are doing well. And she was telling me about her Monopoly games that she had with the brothers and sisters and how she missed me and I was so hot. I mean, it was so cool. I asked her, did I not? I asked you for the last 3 days, can you get those letters? And she did not get those letters. I wanted to read just how infatuated she was with me. But anyway, I just remember how hard that was. And I was like, man, your parents are strict, you know? You didn't get it in the moment when you're a teenager. They're trying to break up our love. Don't you see what they're doing? You know, you don't get it. You're a teenager. And I remember asking my in-laws after I became a parent, you know, how do you do it? And I'll never forget what my father-in-law said. He said, being a parent in the beginning produces friendship in the end. That was powerful to me. So, you know, it's interesting when you spend 18 years of your life just putting your hands on the potter's wheel and molding this child, this human being that God has given you. He goes, that afterwards when they become an adult, you get to enjoy the sculpture that you made. And he said, it's wild when your kids actually become your greatest of friends. How many know if you want to be their buddy later on in life, then there are many times where you got to be the enemy early on in life. You got to be the bad guy sometimes if you want to be the good guy in the long run. Let me say it like this. What Missy told me about her mom when she was 16 is vastly different than what she tells me about her mom today. Because when she's 16, my mom, my parents, my. But I asked my wife a question. I said, who is your mom to you today? And she said, my mom is my best friend. Now, I'm not saying that we are to be the devil 24/7 in their life. All discipline should be done in love and explained in love. And also, I'm not saying that there isn't friendship. There isn't a friendship aspect to parenting our kids when they are young. Because of course there is. There's a friendship aspect to any relationship. I mean, connect with them on their level. Get down to their passions and live and act inside of those passions. Find interest in what they're interested in. I mean, sometimes it's tough because you have no interest in what it is that they're doing, but it's my job as a parent to get down to their level and do that. Sometimes I feel like I got three personalities with three different kids. I'm arguing fantasy football stats with one. I'm talking computers and Minecraft servers with the other and American history. And then I'm like, where'd the daddy go? With the other one. I mean, sometimes I don't know what person I am. But you gotta get on the same level with where they're at and create relationship too. Connect at their level. Love them at their level. Amen. Number four, nutrient number four, is a nutrient that I call approachability. I won't be long on this one. You tell your kids, you can come to me with anything. And mean that. You can come to me with anything. Any problem you experience, you can come to me. And I won't freak out without overreacting. I have always tried to ensure that my kids can come to me with anything. And let me tell you this, if your child isn't coming to you, check your attitude as a parent. Because I've had to do that. You'll kind of see a silent season, but then I look and I've just allowed the stress of life to come out in my parenting in my home. Check your attitude as a parent if your child doesn't come to you. Because I've always wanted my life and my fatherhood to be approachable. And the key to being approachable is not freaking out when they do come to you. Because if you tell them you can come to me with anything, and the child says, anything? Yeah, anything. Okay. And they tell you, you're like, what? And you just lose it. That's not going to do anything. Motivate approachability. One other major thing that fosters and motivates approachability in your parenting is being open about your own mistakes. In other words, when you mess up, fess up. When you mess up, admit to them that you were wrong. That's a good thing to do. Because that develops trust and respect in the kid's eyes toward the parent. If the parent says, you know what, you're wrong. I was wrong. I overreacted. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Why is it so hard to do that? Huh? You ever think about that? We talked about that in our fusion group on Tuesday. Why is it so hard to admit that you're wrong and apologize? Pride. One of the big things of the sinful nature, right? It's pride. Whew, think about it. That's the only reason. It shouldn't be hard to go, I was wrong. I was incorrect, and I want to be correct. It shouldn't be hard to do that, but it is. Because I think the enemy wants in. And he uses our sinful nature, our pride, and gets us to believe this lie. If I admit I was wrong to my kid, then my kid will see me as imperfect. Kid already knows you're imperfect. You'll win their respect. You'll win their love. You'll win their trust. And you'll win in approachability if you admit that you're wrong. It's a good thing. Don't let your sinful nature raise your child. I don't want to parent with my flesh. I want to parent with my spirit. I want to be Christ-like in my parenting. How many know we can go to God with anything? Any problem, and he won't overreact in the moment. Not that there won't be discipline or consequences, but he listens to everything I bring him. with love. It's such an important nutrient to parenting. And lastly, we've talked about accessibility, accountability, unlikability, approachability. The other word doesn't really have ability on the end, so I just made it up, and we're going to call it this, Jesus-ability. This is, to me, the most important nutrient in our parenting. Jesus-ability. You can't do this without Jesus, friends. You can't have godly parenting without the God in your parenting. So what am I meaning? Make God a part of the culture of your family and your home. Pray together. Pray with them. And don't just pray with them, pray for them. I've always looked at parents as a young parent when my boys were super young, even before they were born, and I knew we were having a kid. And I would go to like my pastor, Stephen Brenda Lemon, and I would say, I love what you have. And I want the connectivity. I want the results that you have. What did you do? And I remember Brenda told my wife and I, pray for them now. Pray for them now. And when they're born, while they're sleeping, go and lay your hands on them and pray. And she said, pray for everything. And I'm like, what do you mean? She said, pray for their spouses. Pray for their future. Pray for their college choices. Just start praying for it now. And I remember that changed me. When my boys would be sleeping, I'd go in. They have no idea that a father and a mother are just putting their hands on their head and just praying, God, I pray for their spouse. I prayed for my son's wife for 16 years. I prayed for my other son's wife for 14 years. Now I've learned I'm praying for my daughter's husband for the last year. I just remember praying for Asia's husband, and God, I pray for her husband right now. I pray for her husband's parents. If they're going through a situation right now, just bless her, bless his parents. And Lord, let her husband at least, don't let him be older than 2 years old right now. Amen. You know, I'm just praying those types of prayers. But, you know, just praying over your kids, that Jesus ability. Read the Bible regularly together. Get scripture in them regularly together. Come to church together. But I don't want to go. Who decides that? You decide what they're accessible to. They don't decide that. Let me tell you this. If you don't create a culture of regular church attendance in your life, let me just say it this way. What you value in your today, they will value in their tomorrow. And so all of these things are just giving your kids the ability to give Jesus the reins of their life, to take them to the dream and blessing he has for their future. Amen? There's a lot of nutrients there in a pair. A lot of nutrients in parenting. I was asked a question by a single parent. And they asked this. They said, what if I'm a single parent? Is my child missing out? Because I hear what you're saying. And man, I feel like I'm doing this alone. Is my child missing out? And my answer to your question would be yes and no. I mean, practically speaking, yes, of course. There's two parents are always a good thing, but spiritually speaking, no. Don't ever feel like you're walking with a limp in that aspect. Because God knows your situation, single dad. God knows your situation, single mom. And God isn't freaked out by your situation, single parent. Because with his hands on the wheel of your life as a parent, let me just say it this way, Luke 1:37, with God nothing will be impossible. Single parenting is not impossible with God on your side. I know you may feel overworked. I know you may feel overrun. I know you may feel sometimes half of the person, but can I tell you, God can fill the gap in any area of life and give you double for your trouble, where you are the example that your kid needs to get to the future God called them to go. You can do this. We're praying for your parenting here at Journey Church. Know that. Like I said, I was a youth pastor for 10 years, and I've always said this. The title youth pastor is a deceptive title, because the real youth pastor is you. The real children's pastor is you, the parents. We're just here to help you be an echo of what you're saying to your kids. Man, if parents drink all of these nutrients, I mean all of them, accessibility, accountability, unlikability, approachability, and Jesus ability. Oh, that's good right there. What do you think that'll do to your parenting? What kind of results? I already showed you the results that are coming to my body because of what I just did. What kind of results come to your spirit? Can you show all those nutrients there, Darren? All of them together on that pear? What happens if we do that as parents? What results are coming to your kid's life? It's Proverbs chapter 22, 6. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. I received another question from a parent, and it was this. I didn't do this as a young parent, they said. Is it too late for me? Or my kids right now may not be serving God. Is it too late? Can I ask you a question? How many are in this room right now where you shouldn't be? Like, you shouldn't even be here. Like, you shouldn't even be in a relationship. Stand up. Stand up. If you're one of those people, like, the statistics would say you shouldn't be in a church worshiping God. Stand up. Like, there's no way you shouldn't be here. There's just no way. Remain standing. Remain standing there. Everybody look around you. Can I tell you this for you parents right now that feel like it's too late? It's never too late. God can come in to any heart in any situation. From the response of any prayer, no matter how long you've been praying it, God can come through. And he's no respecter of persons. We said that last week, which means he doesn't target his provision to one particular group of people. It's never too late. Can we give God some praise on that one truth right now? Amen. Thank you so much. Joel chapter 2. That's in the Bible, by the way. Joel chapter 2 in the Message. I love this. He says, but there's also this. It's not too late. And I love what he says after it's not too late. This is God's personal message. It means it's not a general blanket statement. This is God's personal message. It's not too late. Personal message to who? To you. He is always ready to cancel catastrophe. Wow. Wow. I want to ask our communion teams if they would to come.